heaven today, that you'll move us, O God. Inspire us, God. Convict us, I pray. Lord, we want to serve you, Lord, and we want the words of life to illuminate our lives, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God." The Bible tells us that all creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. We have something the world is looking for. All the world is expecting God to send his ambassadors to relieve the world from its troubles. Today, the world is very troubled, isn't it? Today, the world is very confused. And the only answer this world can really depend on comes from God, expressed through his children. The children of God, the scriptures reveal, in the last generation, will be filled with his Holy Spirit, clothed in his power. They will be like a city beaming on a hill. And that his children will come forth in such a way that they will deliver many from their bondages. I'm glad that we can be a part of that great moment in time. How about you? I imagine that the world is going to be so thankful that we've come. I imagine that the world is going to receive us with open arms. I imagine as we come like Jesus came on his donkey, that they're going to throw their coats down before us and let us walk on them and say, "Hosanna, here comes the children of God. Rejoice, they're here. They're finally here to deliver us from all this pain and suffering." The amens have ceased. That's not the way it's going to be. That's not the way it's going to be. It seems like that the world would be happy to receive individuals who care and who will reach out their hands to those around. It seems like that the Christian message should be received by the world in such a tremendous way. But you know, Christianity is under a tremendous attack, that the world in general are critical of Christians. And the helping hand sometimes is chopped off. Don't be fooled for a minute. There'll be very little rejoicing when the saviors of this age, representing the great Savior Jesus Christ, comes to deliver this world from pain and suffering and misery. Amen? Let's look to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And here in the scriptures, we find Jesus speaking. And these words tell us what to expect. In Matthew 10 and 22, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be delivered." We are going to be hated for the name's sake of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? It goes down to verse 24 and it says, "And the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub," which is Satan, Lucifer, "how much more shall they call them of his household?" The Bible reveals here that Jesus Christ was called a devil. And he tells us that we shouldn't expect the world to treat us any different than he treated our Lord, that they treated our master. And he says, you have to get in love with your calling enough. Get in love with your Lord enough that all that is required is they treat you like your daddy. You take pride in your Lord. You take pride in your master. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. In a way, I'd rather not be treated better than Jesus Christ was treated. I love Christ so much. Christ was so wonderful. I would just as soon follow right in his footsteps. If he wasn't good enough for the world, and I don't want to be good enough for him either. Because we know the world wasn't good enough for him. But the world did not know that. He goes on in verse 26, and it encourages, "Fear not them, therefore. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops." This could mean many things. What it means to me is this. We are going to bring to light the things that are done in darkness. This world tries to cover over its sin and rationalize it. They try to call sin insecurities. They try to teach people to cope with their guilt. The world tries to put a little frosting on a cake that's spoiled and corrupt. And the children of God are going to come to reveal to the world the truth. And they're not going to like to listen. You're going to say things that's hard for them to hear. But God says, don't fear. Don't fear. He goes all to say in verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in Gehenna," or hell. We may even lose our lives on some occasion. We may suffer all types of persecution. We may suffer. But don't fear individuals. Don't fear the world. Because all they can do to us is very temporary. All they can do to us cannot touch the inner person. They cannot take from us the joy that we have in serving our Lord. There's no one that can rob us of that joy. All they can do is harm the body. He goes on down in verse 32, and it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." I find a note of pride in that verse. I can imagine Jesus Christ looking down upon his children who have sacrificed in this world. Looking down upon his children that have been abused and persecuted and talked about. And turning to his Father with a tear in his eye and a smile on his face. Saying, "Father, that's my children. That's my brother. That's my sisters. That's my team. That's my household. That's my friends. They're my servants. And I'm proud of them." I can just see Jesus doing that. Being proud of his children on earth who are willing to forsake all to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? He goes on down to say in verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I also will deny before my Father." If you're not willing to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ, if you're not willing for people to persecute you and call you many different names and try to attack your Christianity and say that you're a hypocrite, lie about you. I hear on a weekly basis lies about my life. I hear things that are absolutely ridiculous. I've heard people say, "Mike Aiken smokes, Mike Aiken drinks." I've never smoked in all my life, even as a sinner. I thought more of my body than that. I've never had a drink of liquor in my life. I thought more of my body than that when I was a sinner. Now, I did many bad things, but this couple I didn't get to. But the point is, they say that. A woman the other day in another church, a dear Christian sister, says, "Well, I seen Mike Aiken, and he had a big long cigarette sticking out of his mouth." Well, all I can say, there must be a double somewhere. You know. But people will say that. Because people are looking to ridicule and bring you down and talk about you and lie about you. I tell you what, I wish I had a dollar for every lie that's been spoken about me in the last 10 years. I would be filthy rich. Man, I've heard it all. I go out with my daughter to eat, and the next week I hear Mike Akins is having an affair on his wife. He's out with some blonde, you know. People like to think evil. I get so now I love to take my daughter out, and I can smile at everybody. We'll go out to Furs. We'll sit there and smile. I wonder how many of you are going to talk about me this week. Praise the Lord. I'll give her a big hug in front of everybody, you know. Because, see, the world are going to be looking. They want to cut you down. Man, no matter how much you pour your heart out, no matter how much you help people, no matter what you do, in this world, people are going to be challenged by what you stand for. Amen? We might as well expect that. In verse 34, it says, "Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth." Listen, wait a minute. What are you saying here, Lord? I thought you were the Prince of Peace. I thought you were the Prince of Peace. But he said, don't kid yourself. I haven't come to bring peace. That's what Jesus Christ is saying right here. I didn't come to send peace. There's no way that my presence will bring peace. There's no way. I come to send a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. My goodness, God says here through his son that, listen, my presence is going to bring a revolution. Because you see, the world is in darkness. The birds of a feather are flocking together. And when Jesus comes to a household, or comes to a community, not everyone is going to give heed unto Jesus Christ. Because men like to hide their ugliness. They don't want to look themselves in their eyes. They don't want to see what's inside. They want to live in the corruption that they're in. They have been deceived by Satan. They're living unto self. But there's a few people who are going to recognize truth and see the freedom that truth brings. There's a few that's going to be daring enough to say, yes, he died for me. I recognize it, and I'm going to serve him to the day I die, to the last breath. I'm going to serve him with all that I have within me. And there's going to be people, old friends, are going to look around and say, what's wrong with you? What's happened to you? Man, you're beside yourself. Isn't that what they said about Jesus? He was beside himself. You're the one that's really evil, they're going to say. That's what they say about Christians today. You're causing a problem. You're really the evil one. And they're going to say that about you. They're going to cause division. And I tell you what, Kevin, you're going to have to make a decision. Who is going to be your friend? Because they're going to reject you. But we, the children of God, had better expect to be rejected like you've never been rejected before. Are you ready? Are you willing? Some of you are so sensitive to rejection that the devil controls you like a puppet on a string. You can't even stand the rejection you receive within your own camp as God trains you. It's difficult, isn't it? Don't feel bad. I've been there. And sometimes I'm still there in certain ways. But we better open our eyes and get serious, because why play a game if you're going to quit in the middle of the race? Why start a race if you're not going to finish? If you can't handle it, you better get away from it. If it's too hot to handle, you better run. Because listen, it's going to be tough. The Bible says so. God doesn't kid around, does he? He says in verse 37, he that loveth his mother or father more than he does me is not even worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life or holds on to his life is going to lose it. But he that will lay his life down and lose it for my sake, he'll find real life. Amen. Are you willing? Are you willing? It's the winning team. It's the only team that's going to make it. This world is falling apart. In another 20 or 30 years, if we last that long, you're going to be surprised what this world is going through. The Bible says so. I tell you what, I believe what the Scriptures say. The prophecies of the Scriptures have come true over thousands of times. I believe when it says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Are you ready? I believe you are. You know, I look at Christ and I see Christ, you know, feeding the multitude. I see Christ healing thousands of diseases, individuals that have been stricken with disease. Can you imagine? They heard about Christ all over that region. They would come and cut holes in the church building. Please don't. And lower the people down. If you do, please pay for it, get it fixed, you know. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if Jesus was here? If old evangelist Jesus Christ was here and saw all of a sudden someone started kicking a hole in the roof? So they got the hatchets and they were hitting it, and everyone looking around and what's going on, and it was so filled up that they couldn't get in, and they had a brother or a sister that was paralyzed, and all of a sudden the rope started lowering that person right down in front of you. I tell you what, do you realize that things in those days were very fanatical? The Christians were very fanatical. Can you imagine that? They were radical. They were revolutionaries. They considered them young hippies. What's all this young generation doing? They'd look at them and wonder. They were filled with zeal. Praise God. But do you realize that these people either forsook him or delivered him to be tortured? Wow. That's what the world did with Jesus Christ. And you think that by being a good Christian, you're going to be accepted and liked? Don't kid yourself. It's not going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Praise the Lord. Here we have Paul writing the Scriptures. And Paul here says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Amen? "And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor," something sweet to the taste. "Of Christ and them that are saved and to them that perish." Now I want you to listen to this. We are a sweet taste in God's mouth, figuratively speaking, to them that are saved and perish. To the one we are the savior of death, and to the other of life. What's it saying there? It's giving us a clue why we're going to be rejected. Because you see, we come not to save all mankind. Did you know that? We're not come to deliver all mankind. We've come to judge some. Do you know your life lived in a godly manner judges those around you? When you cease to sin, your life is a judgment to those who choose not to cease to sin. When you come into this world, you come to give deliverance to some, but to bring judgment on others. There cometh a day upon the face of the earth that 2/3 of all the population of the world will die. Did you realize that? 2/3 of the population of this world are going to die, the Bible teaches us. And of 5 billion people, we're talking about 3 billion people are going to die before you see death. Most likely in this generation, 3 billion people are going to die terrible deaths. Disease that's uncontrollable, the Bible tells us. Cancerous sores they cannot even do anything with. This world is in for a shaking up. And God wants the world to have a chance. He wants the people who choose to be delivered and escape this tremendous, tormenting situation to have a chance. But those who choose not to follow Christ and take up their cross and go all the way, they're going to have to suffer this type of catastrophe. Can you imagine the death all around you and the misery that man is going to go through? A financial failure that's going to rock the whole world, the Bible teaches us. Babylon is going to fall. A financial empire that rules the world. I tell you what, you think it's tough now. The world is coming to the darkest moment of its existence in a short time. The Bible says so. And we are supposed to give people a chance. We're supposed to go into the world and give them a chance to escape these things. Theologically, it's debatable how you're going to escape them. You're going to go through it and escape them. We're going to be raptured out before. I'm not going to get into that. But the Bible says we can escape them. I don't have to be the one stricken with these diseases that are incurable. I don't have to be the ones running to the mountains and saying, please fall upon me, kill me, I can't stand to live. I don't have to be a part of this tremendous slaughter of mankind. I can escape these things. But yeah, I want you to know something. There's going to be people resist, and we will be ready in them for the slaughter. It's like going out to a sow and getting ready for the slaughter. We are bringing life to many, but we're going to also prepare judgment for many. Because God is fair. He gives everyone a chance. And we are that chance to the world. We are, if we do our job, if we fulfill our ministry. But you see, today, people are afraid to fulfill the commission that God has given them. People are afraid to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends. If you believe what I have spoken tonight, if you believe what the Bible says about the end days, about the catastrophe, if you right today truly believe that two-thirds of the population of the world is going to come under judgment and be destroyed, 3 billion people going through torment and misery, if you believe that, if you believe the world is coming to its darkest moment, we should be proclaiming Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Your problems are not worth a distraction. Our problems are minor compared to what the problems is coming upon the face of this earth. The devil preoccupies us with little grass fires, little financial problems, little relationship problems, little petty things. But let me tell you something, lives depend on you getting serious about this. Deliverance for many depend on what you do. Don't be so envious of the guy in the Corvette sitting next to you on Main Street. Girls, guys, don't be afraid of the rejection of that cool, dark-headed, 6-foot young man driving that brand new car, got his radio blasting all the way up, the secular music that teaches things that are negative to our mind and heart. It does, too. The guy that's got the can of beer and he's Mr. Cool. Your girls go, oh. That guy is going to be a part of the tremendous judgment coming upon the face of the earth. What do you got to be envious about? You want his approval? You want him to stop and say, clap, clap? If he does, then you're definitely not a part of God's troops. Amen? Because the Bible says he's not going to clap for you. You want the friendship of the children of destruction, are doomed to misery and destruction. God has prophesied it to be. I don't care about their approval. I want one person's approval, and that is Jesus Christ. I want him to look down upon my life and say, son, I'm proud of the life that you've lived. Well done. Enter in to eternal life. Enter into my kingdom. That's the only one you need to please, no one else. Now listen, God has done us a favor. He has given us a church to prepare for the ministry to the world. You receive rejection within your church, don't you? You receive rejection within your family, within your little team. Don't go away crybabying because you've received rejection from your friends. Take that as a training ground so that you can receive, you can stand in the face of greater rejection when the world comes down upon you and they want to destroy you. Even they will pass a law eventually that it'll be capital punishment if you are a true believer. Think about that. The Bible tells us that the governments are going to pass a law that if you are a true believer, they'll have their own words for it. They'll call you a revolutionary, a clog in the machinery, an anti-society whatever, a social menace. But the Bible says all true believers will have a price on their head, and there'll be capital punishment to be a true believer. That's what they call the mark of the beast, or the Christians that lose their head, they don't take it. Those who are not conformed to the ways of this world will be marked for capital punishment. And that's what the Bible says. And the Bible has been right 2,894 times in prophecy. Wow. 2,894 times, if I remember correctly. I could have that a little off. It's been right. It prophesied the wars of this age and what countries were aligned with countries, and it prophesies things that no one could have known. And I believe it's right on what I'm saying tonight, that we're going to have to face these things in our lifetime. Whose side are you going to be on? Are you going to be a pansy? Are you going to be a wimpy Christian? Are you going to try to have your cake and eat it too? Are you going to try to not to be rejected by all your pals out there? Are you going to flirt with unbelievers? You're going to dance next to darkness? The Bible commands the children of God to have nothing to do with unbelievers when it comes to fellowship. We can minister to them, but we cannot fellowship with unbelievers. If you do, you're breaking God's cardinal law, and you're bringing yourself into destruction. The Bible says so. The Bible says that unbelievers have a disease called sin. And the Bible says that you cannot fellowship with that without catching that disease. If a leper came in, would you go over and put your arm around them and, you know, hold their hand, their sword hand? Probably not. But why do we fellowship with people who have a contagious disease that the Bible says you cannot win over? You can only win if you come against it as it should be, and that is as an enemy of God. To fellowship, to do battle, to destroy that disease in that life, not to fellowship. Everyone here tonight that's fellowshiping with darkness, you're going to lose. God says it's true. You can't get around it. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand up for Christ? Are you going to be a part of those few warriors that's going to stand up in the last days and be counted or not? I can't talk you into it. I can't in any way get you to do it unless in your heart you're willing to. But you better decide, because I tell you what, the night cometh, and it's going to encompass us about. And if you haven't prepared for that day, you're going to lose. Amen? But let me tell you something. In God's grace, I'm going to stand. In God's grace, I'm going to stand up there, and I'm going to fight. And I will fight in the face of whatever type of attack that the world wants to throw upon the believer. They can crucify us with their tongues. They can try to crucify us in any way they want to. Among the few that will forsake their wife or husband or children if it comes to it. If my wife chooses the world, then I want you to know something. We won't be together. If she chooses to serve Satan, I'm not going to live in sin. If she chooses to reject me because I'm a Christian, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if I choose darkness, I pray that my wife will choose light and not let me influence her. If my son joins the ranks of Satan's children and wants to serve the Lord, the devil, I'll love my son to the day he dies, but I won't fellowship with him. If my daughter Angela serves Satan, I'll love her to her last breath or my last breath, but I won't let it affect my Christian walk with Jesus Christ. How about you? No matter what, I want to walk with the winners. I want to fly with the eagles. I don't want to scratch with the chickens. How about you? Praise the Lord. Because they're losers. The world is full of losers, and I don't want to be a part of the cesspool this world is forming of losers. I'm going to be a winner, and I'm going to live forever, and I'm going to reign with Jesus Christ. How about you? Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Amen. Praise the Lord.